coming up on a playoff edition of 3 and Out.
Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
It's a rematch from Week 15, but this time the Steelers are coming to the Mile High City.
A lot of respect for him. Great player, great organization, great football team. So that's what this time of year is all about.
The Broncos use the bye week to heal up.
I'm getting back to full strength, man, and by Sunday, man, I'll be ready to go.
While Pittsburgh is coming off a physical game against the Bengals, that turned ugly at the end.
Well, we're just going to game plan for 100% Big Ben and 100% AB.
It's time for the postseason, and only one thing is on everyone's mind.
What do I want for my birthday? A W against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. The Broncos have a shot at redemption against the Steelers, but there's injury concerns for both teams. So let's get started with First Down. It's time for First Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, we saw that Pittsburgh Steelers-Cincinnati Bengals game really kind of spiral out of control. Vontaze Burfict with the hit on Antonio Brown. As a result, he gets 3-game suspension, also for some repeated history on Burfict there. But it was really escalating to that point. Joey Porter, we saw a linebacker's coach come out onto the field for the Steelers. We saw Mike Munchak pull Reggie Nelson's hair on the sideline there. So things kind of escalating in that one. And coming into this weekend, the Broncos already have their own history with the Steelers.
Well, yeah, just go back to December when they met in Week 15, and we know all about how Cody Wallace had an incredibly dirty hit on David Bruton Jr. after the play, just lowered his helmet, launched himself into Bruton's helmet, and really, that's still on the Broncos' minds, and guys in the locker room on Monday talked about it. You accept that that's part and parcel of playing the Steelers, and you know they're going to make some plays beyond the whistle from time to time. What's interesting, you talked, of course, about what happened on Saturday night. You've got, when you have coaches like Joey Porter and Mike Munchak, who they were great players, they were tough players, they were competitive players, and obviously they haven't quite lost that mindset when they've gone into coaching. And I think the team reflects that. You didn't even mention the Ryan Shazier hit.
Yeah, exactly.
That was helmet to helmet. That should have been a penalty and probably a fine at the very least. So it's going to be key for the Broncos to know that this kind of malfeasance is coming and to not overreact to it. Don't get caught into playing their game. They're going to try to bait you a little bit. They're going to try to go after you. Don't get caught up in that. You've got to learn to walk away. And sometimes earlier in the year, the Broncos took some late hit penalties out of frustration. That's something they're going to have to avoid in this game, because if they get caught up in the tit for tat, emotional type penalties, they're going to put themselves behind the eight ball.
Yeah, we saw that really hurt the Bengals there late in the game. And like you said, Mace, it was a problem for the Broncos earlier in the season. Head coach Gary Kubiak said he has addressed the topic with the team.
So we're always talking about those things, but you know, penalties here or there, one play here or there is the difference in playing another week and not playing at all this time of year, and our guys understand that.
You got to think. It's crucial. You know, as crucial as the situation is, you always just got to be thinking about your teammates.
You got to keep your composure. You know, I think Cincinnati had the game, but they just lost their composure and some things. I think, you know, we learned a lot. You know, watch your composure. You know, coaches don't get on the field, and you know, everybody just do your part and don't do too much and don't be selfish and show your emotions and make it all about you.
It's time for Second Down, and now we're joined by Matt Boyer. And Matt, the Broncos are preparing to face Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. But if Brown can't get through the concussion protocol, how big of a loss would that be for the Steelers?
Well, it would be huge. You think about what he did against the Broncos in the last game, over 15 catches, really took Chris Harris to task as far as out wide, in man-to-man coverage. Brown really had his way, 2 touchdown passes. The Broncos scored 27 points in the first half of that game, but were shut out. The Steelers played pretty consistently all the way through. Didn't have a great first half, but Roethlisberger really came on in the second with 380 yards, 3 TDs, 40 of 55 passing. That's a really great percentage for him. I think for the defense, it was a real low point, that Pittsburgh game, in that stretch run. You think they had a couple of bad games, but that was really the only blip on their radar for that stretch run. Chris Harris said it. That game against Brown might have cost him a first-team All-Pro. Harris, of course, second-team All-Pro. Not bad, but that one game kind of a blip on his radar. Redemption, I think, will definitely be on their minds. This is the first game the Steelers see Peyton Manning. That's the one big wrinkle as far as this matchup goes. The Broncos might have an advantage because the Steelers did have all of their personnel in the last game. They have that on tape. The Steelers really don't know what they're going to get with Peyton Manning, and I think C.J. Anderson said it best. While Brock Osweiler did play well, when Manning gets to the line, he sees things that nobody else does, even in the film room. So I think that it's going to be a real advantage for the Broncos to have him back in the lineup.
Yeah, revenge was one word that we did hear a little bit in the Broncos locker room on Monday. Steelers scored 24 unanswered points in that game. Broncos know that can't happen this time around.
You know, that game was crazy. I mean, it was a tale of two halves for both teams. We played well as a team in the first half. They dominated the second half. But, you know, this time of year, if you're going to win, you're going to have to play great regardless of who you play. So we understand that.
It's time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. And where's your sweater?
It's always with the sweater.
Always sweater.
Isn't this a football show?
Look, he's dressed up for the playoffs. He's ready to go. One thing that we've heard from Gary Kubiak this week is that it's not where you play, it's how you play.
Well, right. I mean, this is a huge game. The Broncos are going to need to play a 60-minute game. They've talked about that over the past month or so after they had those first half, second half problems. They're going to have to play a complete game, a full effort throughout the game, which is something they couldn't do last time against Pittsburgh on the road. So, like you said, it's not where you play. But the Broncos will need to play well at home.
Yep, the difference this time, the game going to be at home. What are some other keys for the Broncos' victory this week?
Well, I think, number one, you have to protect Peyton Manning. There have been issues with protection over the past few weeks. Brock Osweiler had some problems with taking sacks. Maybe he could have thrown the ball away a little bit more. However, the pressure was getting there, making some ineffective passing attempts, errant throws, and with the Steelers' defense, you can't really allow that to happen, especially for Peyton, who's coming off of his injured foot. So they really need to be able to keep him clean, give him the time in the pocket to make those throws.
Yeah, and then on the other side of the ball, we saw the Broncos sort of have some tackling problems in Pittsburgh, something they really need to clean up this week.
Right, I mean, it was uncharacteristic, kind of allowing those explosive plays after the catch, and that's something they can't do this week. Whether Antonio Brown plays or not, something that's still up in the air. Expectations are that he will play. Very dangerous after the catch. Not just down the field, not just long passes. The short passes, wide receiver screens, bubble screens, those things are very dangerous for him. Marcus Wheaton, Martavis Bryant, all those guys are very dangerous. The Broncos will have to ensure that they have their fundamentals tackling-wise wrapped up.
Yep, the Broncos began their preparations on the field on Monday for the Steelers, and they all are entering this week with the right mindset.
They're probably making more big plays than anybody in ball. I don't know the statistics, but I know they're making a lot of 10-plus plays in the course of a game. So that'll be very important, you know, trying to find a way to minimize the big plays.
I mean, you just try to get to them faster. You know, since Ben's probably going to be hurt a little bit, probably get some quicker passes, some more screens and things like that.
Yeah, we just got to tackle because, you know, quick throws going to come, man. We just have to be great tacklers on Sunday. That's it, man. That's all. They get the ball out quick, just tackle them.
It's time for fourth down. Thank you very much for all the Twitter questions this week. Let's punt things over to Scott Ward and our social media department. But first, a quick message from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's jump right into the questions this week. First one from our number one fan, Daniel Gonzalez. Why is playing man coverage against the Steelers still the plan? Mace, you take that one.
Some good music there. I like it every week. Well, Daniel, the reason why you stick with man coverage is because you've got cornerbacks who, in the big picture, are good enough to handle that. You don't want to overreact to one bad game. Chris Harris Jr., yes, he got beat for the first two touchdowns that he's allowed in the last 2 years because of the man coverage on Antonio Brown. But also look at how those touchdowns happened. When they happened, it was after a pass interference call, a controversial pass interference call on Chris Harris Jr. I think that affected the Broncos. A couple of guys in the locker room have said, hey, that caused us to pull back just a little bit. So I think it's key for the Broncos not to deviate too much from what worked for them over the course of the year and instead understand that, yeah, there might be a call or two against you for pass interference, but don't let that change the way you cover their opposing receivers. And it's also going to help, frankly, that it looks like both T.J. Ward and Darian Stewart are going to play in this game. The Broncos played against the Steelers last month without both of their starting safeties. Having them back is going to be huge. I think it's key for the Broncos to not overreact to that game and not completely change the philosophy that made them the number one defense and the number one pass defense.
Nice. Like the moves. Next question is from Elizabeth Fisher. She is at Little Bit Fish. She's wondering, is it better to be rested or rolling heading into the playoffs? Mickey, take it.
Scott, it's the divisional round. Stick to business. As far as rested versus rolling goes, you would think that the rest would help, but the Broncos' record the last couple of years, they've had a first-round bye each of the past four seasons. Up to this point, they've been 1-2, a losing record. Not great, but this season's a little bit different. You think about all the injuries that the Broncos have had. They haven't played with their full complement of starting secondary players for more than a month, and DeMarcus Ware, had the Broncos had to have played last week, probably wouldn't have played, but Ware said this week he does expect to go. I think that the rest this year has really helped out this Broncos squad, and you know, every round of the playoffs, there's attrition. The Steelers probably wish they didn't have to play last week. You think about some of the injuries that they've suffered leading up to this game. I would vote for rest instead of rolling in this case.
Mickey, I'm always in playoff mode. Final question from a big fan. They're wondering, will the running game be as confident as it was when Manning subbed in for Brock this Sunday against the Steelers? Swanee, what do you think?
Good question, and thanks for submitting it. I don't know why they wouldn't be as confident. I mean, obviously the Chargers weren't as prepared for Manning to come in. They were kind of more prepared for Osweiler. So maybe that kind of changed up how they reacted, put them a little off balance, and then all of a sudden the Broncos were running the ball much better. But the Broncos, on their side, the running game has to be confident. They've been playing well probably since the last half of the season. So they have to go into this game thinking they can get things rolling and give Peyton Manning the other side of the balance on offense that they'll need to have. And C.J. Anderson's been running well. Ronnie Hillman has been running well. Each of them have had big games recently, game-winning touchdowns, big runs against very tough opponents. And as the Broncos prepare for the Steelers, I'm sure they'll be prepared and confident to go on Sunday.
Thanks for the questions. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer, Ben Swanson, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.